Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
Glad you all are here today. And as you can see there, I'm going to be speaking this morning on the subject of criticism and how to handle it. And we're going to be looking at several examples in God's Word related to that. We'll get to that in a few moments. But we have all given criticism, and we have all received criticism. And given a choice, I have no doubt but we would much rather give criticism than receive it. I was on the receiving end of criticism as a young first-year college student as a result of my obnoxious behavior. Now, I know it's almost impossible for you all to think of me as having obnoxious behavior. But I did. And even Jamie thought so. Even though she had already decided that I was going to be her husband, and that was before she proposed to me. But in all seriousness, I don't remember exactly all of the details. But as I was preparing this message, I thought about that time, and I was probably doing something silly to draw attention to myself, to get noticed. But a few friends in the group that I was in, they cared enough about me to pull me aside and to talk to me about it. And I didn't like it at first. How many of us like to be criticized? It was painful. But with God's help, I took it in stride. And I learned from it, and I grew from it. But more often than not, when criticism comes our way, we don't do well. We don't handle it in a wise and constructive manner. And some criticisms are totally unfair. They're unjustified. Some criticisms are justified, and part of handling it is trying to figure it all out and how to deal with it. It's been my prayer this week as I share this message with you that I'll be sharing some things that will help us in this regard. Now, I'm going to use the word donkey here and not another word. But it has been said, if one person calls you a donkey, ignore it. If two people call you a donkey, look for hoof prints. If three people call you a donkey, go get a saddle. And it was said of President Dwight Eisenhower that he never moved forward with a serious plan until he listened carefully to all opposing criticisms. There may be some wisdom in that. And here's wisdom from God's Word. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That being said, on this subject of criticism and how to handle it, there's no better example that I can point to this morning than Jesus Himself. Even though Jesus was without sin, even though He was the only perfect human being to ever walk on the face of this earth as the Word made flesh and the living Son of God, He was often on the receiving end of criticism. Criticism that was designed to bring Him down. Criticism that was designed to destroy Him. And so I want to back up for a few moments here and talk about the origin of criticism. The beginning, the source of criticism. And no, criticism didn't begin with the person that you're married to. Okay? I don't know if you caught that or not. Criticism began with Satan. The devil is the number one critic. The only encouragement you will ever receive from the devil is to sin and to destroy your life. Look at this verse here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. For the one who stood before our God and accused believers day and night has been thrown out of heaven. The Bible teaches that Lucifer, somewhere, somehow, he became critical of Almighty God. He challenged God and he rebelled. And he was cast down, and he took that critical spirit, that rebellion, into the garden, and he criticized God. He said to Adam and Eve, has God said? And then when Adam and Eve sinned, it gave birth to the critical spirit. Adam criticized God. You know what he said? It's this woman that you gave me. God, it's your fault. And from that moment on, there has been this propensity in human nature to have a critical spirit. You don't have to work at it. It's part of the flesh. It's part of human nature. If we don't keep it restrained and allow God to help us in this area. And so here's what I want to point out when it comes to what I'm calling destructive criticism. Criticism for the purpose of condemning and destroying a person comes from Satan and it comes from sin. God alone is the judge. Amen. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And only God has the power to condemn. His criticisms, his judgment is always holy and just. You remember the story Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, beginning about verse 16. He was talking about this farmer who was hardworking. He became very prosperous. And when Jesus told this story, he wasn't criticizing the man for being hardworking and prospering. But this farmer, he ignored God. He ignored others. And so the verdict was that God said to him, you fool, this very night, your soul is going to be required of you. The criticism was because he failed to acknowledge God. And so when it comes to this destructive criticism, it was manifested toward Jesus. If anyone was above reproach, it was Jesus. And yet these people were always there. They were watching him. They were just waiting for him to do something, to say something, whereby they would criticize him and try to destroy him. They even said he had a devil. He was the prince of devils. But they were the ones who were of the devil, these critics that came criticizing Jesus. So I want to give you a few examples here of what I'm talking about. Criticisms of Jesus. Criticism number one. This is a criticism dressed up in a question. They came and they said, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast? But your disciples do not fast. Now, you might be tempted to look at that and think, oh, that's just a basic question they just wanted. No, that wasn't. There are honest questions and dishonest questions. This was a dishonest question. This was a loaded question. Jesus' disciples weren't living up to their expectations. But even beyond that, they were trying to get at Jesus. And that's what I find here. I want to use the example this morning of David. King David, because I find that the old saying, hurt people hurt people. When people allow sin and hurt to come in their lives, then that critical spirit comes in and they begin to attack others and criticize others out of their own pain. And That's what happened to King David. We all know the story. I'm not going to go into great detail about David's story. You know the story. David allowed sin, a terrible sin, to come into his life. And it's believed that for over a year, he lived in that guilt and that hurt and that sin in his life. And he developed a hypercritical spirit. The prophet Nathan came to him. And this is a good example, because Nathan came to him in private. And the prophet Nathan came to David, told him a story about a rich guy. He had everything anybody could ever want, but his neighbor had this one little pet lamb. And the rich guy took his neighbor's little lamb. And when King David heard that story, this hypercritical spirit rose up in him. And he said, as the Lord lives, whoever has done this is going to die. And that's when the prophet Nathan said to King David, King, it's you. You're the one. That was like a sword coming into his soul. But Nathan had David's best interests at heart. It led to repentance. It led to restoration. Do you know the difference between constructive and destructive criticism? I'm going to tell you. Constructive criticism is when I criticize you. Destructive criticism is when you criticize me. Now, I know none of you. Look, I've been here 3.5 years. I know there's not even one person in here that's ever criticized me for anything, you know. I kind of realized that this morning. I forgive you. Criticism number two. Look at this. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And here's how Jesus answered his critics. He answered them with Scripture. If you can ever use God's Word to answer a critic, that's the best path that you can ever take. That's why it's so important to know God's Word. If we ever give a biblical answer, that's the best approach to take, and that's what Jesus said. He said, have you not read what the Scripture says about David, what David did? And then he silenced his critics. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, listen to this. The human race is divided into two classes. Those who go ahead and do something, and those who sit still and inquire, why wasn't it done another way? It kind of reminds me of an old story I was remembering where back in the days when people would sit out on their porch a lot, you know, then this old farmer, he was sitting on his porch in his rocking chair, and his hound dog was laying beside him. And his friend came over to visit one day, and every few minutes that hound dog would start howling. And his friend said, why is your dog howling all the time? And the farmer said, well, he must be laying on a cockle burr. And then the guy said to him, he said, well, why doesn't he get up and move? He said, because he would rather howl. And you know, doesn't it drive you crazy when there are people who won't get up and do anything? And yet they're the critics. They're always there to make noise, to criticize things when it's not done the way that they want it to be done. So let me give you another example here. And this is where the critical spirit is exposed and revealed. Let's look at this in just a little bit over in Mark chapter 3. And he entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they, look at this. So they watched him closely. See, that's what people that just want to criticize, have a critical spirit. They're just there watching, waiting for something to criticize. And that's what they were doing. They watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. That was the purpose. They were criticizing that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to minister under the microscope of criticism like that? Here he was. He was going about the task of ministry, teaching, healing, performing miracles. But he was constantly surrounded by these unbelieving critics. So here's the question. How did Jesus handle it? He handled it perfectly. He handled it perfectly. And as we think about how he handled it, there are three things this morning that I would like for us to consider on receiving and handling criticism. Number one, always consider the source when criticism comes your way. Who is it that's criticizing you? What is the motivation? Are they trying to help you or are they trying to harm you? If it's some kind of public criticism, it's probably not to help you. And even if it's a private criticism, they come to you privately, it still may not be. And that's where you have to have discernment. As I said earlier, Nathan came to David privately, and it led to repentance. It led to restoration. It was for David's best interest. And I want to give you another example here of Apollos. And Paul talked about Apollos in 1 Corinthians. And Apollos was when the church was just starting, Apollos was a fiery preacher, but some of his theology at best was incomplete. And so we find in the New Testament that this ministry couple, Aquila and his wife Priscilla, they heard Apollos, and some of the things that he was saying were not right, and so they pulled him aside privately. In fact, I have the verse here. If we can look at this, and he, meaning Apollos, began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. See, that's how it should be handled. They went to him privately. The outcome was all good. It was all positive. It was all good. You know, I know a lot of us have read some of these the Peanuts comic strip, you know, with Lucy and Linus. And there was one I was looking at where Lucy was just tearing into Linus with criticism. And Linus said, "Why are you always criticizing people?" And she said, "It's because God has given me the gift of seeing other people's faults." And then he said, "Well, what about your faults?" She said, "God has also given me the gift to overlook my faults." And I think probably most of us have both of those gifts. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? You see the speck in your brother's eye, but what about the plank in your own eye? You know, I was thinking about the fact that we all have blind spots. How many of you know that a preacher can even have some blind spots, okay? Huh? Dave rose his hand. Raised his. But you know, like in driving, you're driving your car. Now these modern cars, they almost have eliminated the blind spot. But you may have a vehicle where you still, someone could be just right in the right place, right beside you, where you can't see. You can look in your mirrors, but they're in that blind spot. They could see you. And that's what I wanted to point out, that there are people that might be able to see some blind spots that we have. And so when we consider the source of criticism, we have to figure out, though, is that person that's in the blind spot, are they gonna back off a little bit, or are they gonna pull up and try to cut us off? And that's what we have to try to figure out when this criticism comes our way. But we all have weaknesses and blind spots. And someone that cares about us will tell us, perhaps, and they'll do it in the right way. So we need to, if criticism comes your way, consider the source. Number one. Number two, consider the scriptures. Consider what God says you should do when criticism comes your way. Because you see, the Bible is God's owner's manual. God tells us everything that we need to know about the subject of criticism that I'm talking about. I could give you so many passages and verses. I chose just one that I want to for us to look at this morning. James chapter 1, 19. Everyone should be quick to what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I share this every morning with Jamie in our devotional time. No, I'm just, man, I'm in trouble now. That wasn't in my message. I just felt inspired to say that. But we look at this verse. Just think, what if everybody in the world practice that? Just think about that. And so I want us to examine this for a moment. Principles to practice. That's what I'm calling this. Principle number one. Listen carefully. Be quick to listen. There's a reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth. And, I mean, is it just me, or does it just seem today like everyone's talking and no one's listening? Does it seem like that? Everybody's just talking, 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 and it seems like no one's listening. Look, even if a criticism comes and it's not right or it's not just, we need to learn to listen. We can learn from anything that happens if we're willing to listen. Here's the second principle. First of all, listen carefully. Secondly, speak cautiously. Slow to speak. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Has this ever happened to you? Someone just comes up to you and hits you out of left field with some type of criticism, and it catches you flat-footed, you know. You don't know what to say. That's what usually happens to me. It's like, I wish I was a little more, like, quick to give an answer. Maybe that's not a good thing, though, to be quick to give an answer. And so what happens, though, is you go home, you know, that happens to you, somebody blindsides you, and you're laying in bed, and man, you're thinking about that. You're just, oh, the next time I see that person, I'm gonna lower the boom. You know, I'm gonna have an answer for that. I'm gonna be prepared. It reminds me of a story that I remember when I was preparing this message this week, and it's a story about Winston Churchill. And this guy challenged Winston Churchill in public, and he yelled out. He said, "Mr. Churchill, you, sir, are a despicable drunk." And Winston Churchill came back immediately. He said, "And you, sir, are despicably ugly. But I am going to be sober in the morning." And you know, we might admire people that could just, you know, they're witty and they could just snap back, but that may not be the right approach. And that verse I gave you, Proverbs, a gentle answer turns away wrath. We should be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak. And that leads me to the third part of that verse. Respond compassionately. Yes, we're to speak the truth in love. But don't throw, when someone criticizes you with words and they hurt you with words, don't throw the spear back and the arrows back. First of all, pray and get God's mind about it. And I was thinking about David again, where, you know, Saul was criticizing David, trying to kill David, chasing David all over the wilderness, trying to kill him. And two times David had the opportunity to easily kill Saul. You remember one time in the cave, he cut off a piece of Saul's clothing, demonstrating that he could have just easily have snuck up and chopped off his head. But David didn't respond that way. He allowed God to handle it and to work it out. And God did in his time. It worked out very well for David. And he responded in the way that we should respond when criticism comes. And so, in this message that I tried to develop and to share with you today, we need to consider the source, consider the scriptures when this happens, and then just give me a couple more minutes here, because this is the most important. We need to consider the Savior. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? This is what he did. And I'll first give this to you in King James, an older translation. Then I want to give you the same verse in a more modern translation. But this is what Jesus did. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And then, here's another translation. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Here's what we need to do. We, especially in this world today, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who had the contradiction of sinners against himself. They blasphemed Jesus. They criticized him. They nailed him to the cross. And that's why we need to look to him and how to handle these matters. I want you to listen to this. You may go through the world, and it will be very slow if you listen to all that is said as you go. You'll be worried and fretted and kept in a stew, for critical tongues must find something to do, for people will talk. Yes, that's part of life. But here's the thing. I close with this. Look, if something's said about you, and you know it's not true, and the people who know you best and love you and care about you, they know it's not true, ignore it. Ignore it. Disregard it. If it's unfair and unjust, don't let it anger you and irritate you. But if it's justified, if someone who cares about you is trying to help you, then learn from it. Put it in God's hands and grow from it.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.